Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pastor Dick asked me this week to share a message, and it gave me good reason to get out the PowerPoint program, which I don't want to use, but sometimes God pokes you in the side and says, you got to use it now. So it gave me some opportunity to do some study and to share with you this morning. We're going to look at the armor of God, and we're going to concentrate once we get into the message this morning on the sixth chapter. The verses 10 through 18, but before we get to our message, I just want to give an update on my mom, Louise Herbert. She's doing well. Hopefully this Thursday there's a follow-up with her orthopedic surgeon, and she just had some corrective surgery 2 weeks ago. And the hope is that they've corrected her right foot so now that it's straightened out that she'd be able to finally stand up and start the process of learning to walk again with a walker. So be praying for that. I mean, she's tough. Both my parents are tough. The old Depression era babies, you know, never give up. So, and they do appreciate this congregation's prayers, myself and my family as well. So we're looking at the armor of God this morning, but before we get to that, we're going to backtrack to our home group on Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, we started a study in Ephesians, and I'm going to read from our study guide a little bit later in the sermon this morning. But we shared a video from Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg is a broadcast minister, has a program, Truth for Life. He's also senior pastor of the Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And Alistair had a video about introduction to Ephesians. And one thing Alistair pointed out right from the get-go is if you look in the book of Ephesians, there isn't a lot of church controversies going on. There isn't mention of disciplines or anything. He's kind of just encouraging them. Paul is encouraging them. He's in prison at the time. And he's writing letters, and he writes a letter to the church of Ephesians. They're not sure why, but it was more of a book of encouragement and instruction as well. Alistair pointed out that Paul's focus in the first three chapters of the six chapters of this book was that any relationship with Christ was not anything we did. He reminds them that we were saved by grace, by faith in Christ. But everything that God did by having Jesus die for us on the cross, he, right from the get-go, he reminds us that this is where our faith in Christ starts. From Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9, this reiterates what Alistair was sharing during the beginning of his video. Starting with verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Transgressions is simply our offenses, our sins. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So we were made alive in Christ. That was the reminder to the Ephesian church in the first three chapters of the book, and that's a reminder to all of us this morning that we are alive in Christ. We have something to celebrate today. And then Alistair's remainder of the video discussed chapters 4 through 6. He illustrated that we can apply our walk in Christ through unity, through wisdom, and standing ready for spiritual battle. Those are all contained in the last three chapters of that book. And our focus today will be that. It will be the spiritual battle. Of course, our first step is to know that we are saved by faith alone. And it's the gift of grace, unconditional love and mercy from God. So that's our starting point. Those of us that have accepted Christ in our lives, we have that safeguard already. We know we're under Christ's leadership. We know we've been saved. And we know that we have faith to move on. We then are equipped to carry out good works, which gives glory to the goodness of God. And that becomes part of the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians. We've been made alive. How do we put this new life into our lives and then display it to others and honor God at the same time? Of course, we have Inauguration Day tomorrow, and whoever the president is, he's also the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. But in the spiritual realm, in the Church of Jesus Christ, he is our commander-in-chief. He's working to protect our spiritual well-being. I mean, that's our true commander-in-chief. That's our heavenly commander-in-chief, and that's something we've always got to remember. So before we get into our study this morning, let's bow our heads and let's commit this time to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and the letters he wrote to encourage the churches that he was overseeing, to also provide correction, but to encourage us that we have life in you, Jesus. And I pray this morning as we go through the armor of God, we see how we can stand firm and we can tackle the battles of life, tackle the spiritual battles that come before us, and stand firm knowing that we have faith, hope, and love in you. In your name, amen. Ephesus was in the area of Turkey, what is modern-day Turkey. At the time of the Apostle Paul's ministry, he spent a few years ministering to the saints in this region. He was familiar with the people and culture. Now, it's a coastal city, and when you have a coastal city, you have all that trade and commerce, but you also have, and it's true today, whether it's by sea, plane, or train, you have people coming in and out with differing lifestyles, differing religious views, and it's kind of a melting pot. So Paul was in this region, in this province of Asia, and this group of Ephesians were always being influenced because they probably were in an open marketplace doing business every day, and you know, probably some of the merchants were selling their religious goods or whatever, you know, lifestyle they wanted to promote. So there was a lot of influence. It's no different than today. And in addition to a plane, a train, a boat, we have the information network. We are influenced by technology. Some of you on TikTok this morning face the reality that that provider is down for the time being. I don't use it, so no loss to me, but I apologize for the rest of you if you're upset this morning. So, but the information highway just opens opportunity for us to be exposed to so much. On top of everything else, on top of just having interaction with people. So we're in a situation similar to the Ephesians. We have a lot of influences. We have a lot of people talking to us. If you're still in the workplace, your family members may have different views than you, whatever they mean, from religion to politics. So in this book, I believe Paul is trying to just keep us on the straight and narrow of knowing Christ and how to walk out the daily walk with him. So the verses prior to verses 10 through 18 in chapter 6, Paul is addressing the behavior for children. He talks about guidance for parents. Slaves at that time were an important commodity of the world, and respect toward their masters. And what's interesting is he also reminds the masters, you need to be respectful too of those that are working for you. It's been recorded Paul was under house arrest, as I mentioned, and the period's about 60 to 62 AD. And I've read different commentaries and different Bible introductions say that when he wrote this particular letter about the armor of God, he may have been looking at that soldier that was standing outside. And maybe from there he drew the different illustrations. So we are now going to read the verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6, and then we'll break it apart. We start with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So now we are going to suit up for spiritual battle. Our greatest offense from Satan's camp is our greatest defense. And this scripture, I believe, backs it up. God's promises. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Apostle Paul in this book writes, "And now the three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And we're not talking about a romantic love here. We're talking about a respected love. First, we respect God. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we're able to share that with others. But before that, we got to make sure that we're intact with faith, faith in Christ. We have hope. We have hope that Jesus is going to get us through this day, and we know the end result, that we will reside with him in heaven. And then from all that, we are encouraged to love one another. Love the Lord God first, and then love one another. So our greatest defense is Satan's offense. Satan just wants us not to have faith. He wants to tear the hope out of our lives. And boy, he doesn't want us to love our neighbor at all. Whatever he can do to stir up strife, it could be just in your neighborhood. Your neighbor doesn't like you or your dog, those kinds of situations, or whatever it may be. And the workplace, family, anything Satan can get his thumb on, churches. That seems to be the greatest effect, I think, in the Christian walk, is when churches can't love one another internally. You know, you have one side of the congregation that's unhappy with this part of the church's doctrine. The other side of the church still favors it, and they're playing a tug of war with the leadership. That's not love. That's a brawl. Might as well have a World Wrestling Federation match in the church to settle matters. But you need love. You need God's love. So verses 10 and 11, I'll just reread those quick. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes and the things I just mentioned." Verse 12, since Satan has a kingdom, he has an organized army. And we read it in verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So he has an army that we can't see. He has an army of foot soldiers, if you will, that affect our heart, affect our mind, that want nothing but darkness in our life. So we battle with that every day. We battle with that. We have to keep that in mind. When the moments are dark and things happen, we can sometimes attribute it to, you know, Satan just putting the chain around our ankle and giving us a pull, trying to trip us up. But sometimes there are things that just happen, because of who we are and because we're humans and, you know, we have our imperfections and whatnot. But Satan, when we're trying to make a go of it and when we're trying to express our faith and we're trying to walk out our faith and we're trying to reach out to our family and neighbors with the love of Christ and share the good news and work toward having people accept Christ in their life, that's when the army really comes to power, the rulers, the authorities, all that brings that dark world into us. So we must be aware of that. And we must at that time say, okay, Lord, something's not right here. I know things are going good within my spiritual life, but why is this just darkness? Because Satan wants us to fail. So we need to be aware of that, and Paul expressed that in verse 12 to watch out for that army. We must close ourselves always with faith, hope, and love, going back to 1 Corinthians 13:13, because the kingdom of God's military fatigues help us to identify us in battle. And as I mentioned, our hearts get affected, and then our minds. Our minds go off on different tangents, and we start thinking things we probably shouldn't. And once it goes to the heart and the mind, sometimes it goes to the feet and the hands and the mouth, and then we're all in trouble. So those are things we have to watch against, again, when that army is trying to take control of our lives. I think about D-Day in Normandy, with all the troops just came in on shore. They had, you know, all sorts of military oppression coming at them. They had bullets and tanks and whatnot coming at those soldiers who went on Normandy on D-Day. But they pushed in. That's what I always appreciate when I read the stories and watch different documentaries about the Battle of Normandy, D-Day. They just pushed and pushed and pushed. And that's what we have to do, but we have to do it in a spiritual way. And we have to just say to God, direct me. Take this thought out of me. Take this out of my heart. Verses 14 and 15, we move into battle protected. I'll reread those. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. When I was writing this, I was thinking about my grandson Caleb. When he was a little boy, we had this Home Depot toolkit for him because he just loved gadgets. And so we set it up for him, and it had goggles. And because his dad's a tradesman, early on, he understood the importance before he did anything with that toolkit. It was safety first, and he'd strap on the goggles. So he knew at a young age that he had to protect himself. And it's carried on to his adulthood as he's now in the trades himself. So we need to strap on that protective gear, just like Caleb did when he was a little boy working on that Home Depot set. Because God's truth holds our gear up. We are loved, we are accepted, and we are forgiven. We've got to keep those truths in us at all times as we go into battle daily, that we're loved, we're accepted, and in Christ, we are forgiven. Our righteousness from God protects our heart. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So we need to stand firm. We need to have that belt of truth buckled around our waist. You know what I think the best belt of truth is? Your Bible. However you read it, whether you read it on your phone, there's your belt right there. That's the best thing you can wrap around yourself in a daily life, is to have your Bible ready. However you read it, whatever device you use, have that Bible there. It's your belt of truth, and keep it around you. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness protects us, protects our heart. When I think of the Roman soldier having that breastplate on, his heart was protected, because any of those organs got an arrow through him at that time, they, you know, that means the guy was going to die. And we can die too if we don't have the breastplate of righteousness guarding our heart, because we can be so deceived. And that, and it, as I mentioned before, it just goes to our mind. So make sure you have the Word of God buckled around you every day, and you have your heart protected too. And that starts with reading the Bible each day and just believing the words. The good news of the New Testament provides footing to move into darkness and go forth protected. And that's verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Are we ready to move ahead every day? sometimes yes, sometimes no, because trials and tribulations all of a sudden want to make us take that step back and not move ahead. So in this illustration from Paul, he wants us to walk in peace. Not run, but walk. Walk in peace. Have a sense of peace in you, and that's having the knowledge of faith, hope, and love in your life, and then your feet will kind of peacefully let you walk into any situation with the goodness of God ready to protect you. Verses 16 and 17. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There you go. Word of God again as your tool. Verse 16, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, ready to stop the daggers of darkness. Daggers of darkness, I believe, are hate, anger, revenge, all that, and other things too. They make us want to sin. They want to put us in a place that we're going to eventually say, gee, I shouldn't have been there. There, for every action, there's a consequence, no matter what you do, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. So you have to remind yourself, okay, if I continue to have this anger inside of me and I continue to want to have revenge, and what's the end result going to be? What's going to be the consequence for my action? I think that's something that we can just, with common sense, you know, say to ourselves, if what's the end result going to be? And that's when you cry out to God, and that's when you have that shield of protection ready to stop those daggers that are coming against you, and ask God to put that shield up for you as well. And finally, we have the helmet of salvation, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what that is telling me in verse 17 is, what is our head knowledge? Is our head knowledge the Looney Tunes cartoons we enjoyed as a child, which isn't bad? Or is it the Holy Bible, the Word of God that breathes life in our mind? That is what we need. We need the Word of God to protect our heads, to protect our thinking, and to protect our sight on what we're going to see and what we think we're going to see. And finally, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Our prayer source for renewed fire on the battlefield, the Holy Spirit. God gave us the counselor once Jesus left earth to provide wisdom, insight, faith, hope, and love that can help us conquer any battle. We know we don't have Jesus here physically. We have God's Spirit in us. If we have right relationship with God, if we know Jesus is our commander in chief, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. And nothing we can taste, see, or smell, but something we can count on, because the Holy Spirit convicts us, encourages us, convicts our hearts, encourages our hearts, gets our minds thinking like we should, gets our minds in a spiritual sense of life. So that is our prayer source as we end this battle. Remember that the Holy Spirit is also part of the army of God that'll take us to the right level. So the armor of God illustrates the dressing of protection that we can receive with faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to the beginning of Ephesians. If we were made alive with Christ, we can be protected by our Lord. So the first three chapters of Ephesians, kind of a brief summary of what we did on Tuesday night, what we read on Tuesday night, we are made alive in Christ. We need to remember that. That's our starting point. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are our action plans and direction as well. And then, of course, the last chapter, which we looked at today, the armor of God, tells us how to be made ready for battle. And so there you have it. You have an illustration here, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that belt of truth, which I refer to as the Word of God, that shield of faith, You have the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working with us. And then when we get ready to move ahead, we need God's peace. We need the peace of God, the good news of God, to help us move ahead very peacefully and be honoring to our Lord. The book we're reading in our home group is from written by Dr. David Jeremiah, who has a church in California. Another broadcast pastor, his program is Turning Point Ministries. It's called Jeremiah Bible Study Series, Ephesians, The Inheritance We Have in Christ, available at the Connection Point or online. And I had to throw that in. So I'm going to read a paragraph here from page 124. And it's a precursor to the lesson on the armor of God in this particular study guide. And Dr. Jeremiah writes, "The truth is that we all are in a spiritual battle. Warfare is taking place all around us. The Bible says that we have an enemy whose sole aim is to hurt and discourage us. As Jesus explained, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." John chapter 10, verse 10. "Satan wants to steal life from us and cause us misery and defeat. He will stop at nothing to disturb our minds, deceive our hearts, defeat our lives, and cause us to doubt our faith." That's kind of a summary of the book of Ephesians and what the armor of God does to protect us. Remember, we are protected by faith, hope, and love. And with this year of discipleship at New Covenant Community Church, I believe these three words need to be active in our vocabulary, and we put them into action as we're ministering to others within our church family or outside these walls. Our drill for being ready for battle is the knowledge of God's Word and hearing from the Holy Spirit on the direction for battling any trial or temptation. And just one thing I'd like to endorse here is one thing that will help you with everything involving being made alive in Christ and how to walk things out, you know, practically with the Word of God, is joining a home group here. Each home group has its own dynamic, but the whole focus is to study the Word of God together, have fellowship, and grow together. So if you're not in a home group and you're looking for that opportunity, that's more of a personal gathering for you during the week to get you engaged and to keep you in right footing with God. I thank you, and I'm going to have Pastor Dick close our service.
Let's pray. Lord, indeed, the greatest of these is love. Lord, help us not to be distracted from focusing on you, Lord. Lord, Tom talked about righteousness. We are made to be righteous when we have a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. Tom mentioned Looney Tunes, Lord. Outside of you, everything's Looney Tunes. And I pray, Lord, that we'd keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, I pray that we would look at the armor, that we would, Lord, you give us peace in the midst of storm. You give us peace in the midst of unbelievable turmoil. Because you overcame, Lord, and we have eternity with you. Lord, I liked what Tom said about we have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in every single Christian, Lord. We need to stand on your word and to read it, Lord God, to take notes, to pray when you speak to us, when we read things that we don't like, to prayerfully accept it, oh Lord. That builds our faith. Lord, a lot of times when we are in hard times, we feel overwhelmed because we've wandered from you, O Lord. Forgive us for that. But thank you for this word today, Lord, that you have called us to be overcomers. That we need to indeed look at the end result, is what Tom said, Father God. That we need to allow your Holy Spirit to renew us, to guide us, to give us wisdom. Lord, I pray for anybody here today that maybe they're struggling, that they would just reach out to you, God. Say, man, I need you, Lord. And if you're here today and you need prayer, don't leave without having somebody pray for you. But Lord, thank you for this word. And thank you for peace, Lord God. You know, Tom mentioned the inauguration tomorrow. Holy moly, has this country been through it in the last 10 years, Lord God. But we need to keep our eyes on you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed.